Hello.
Hello. Good morning, Neil. This is Sean returning your phone call.
Hey, Sean. How are you?
I'm doing good. Sorry I missed your call. We just hired a new employee, so I've been training them and trying to get them up to speed. So I appreciate your patience.
Yeah, no worries.
How's everything on your end?
Good. Just at the house right now. Inspection is getting done and just calling around to figure a good opportunity to see what you have to offer.
Oh, inspection is going on at this moment?
Yep. Inspection is going on. Jason and I are over here with the inspector, and he's doing real estate stuff, and I'm talking to the owners here
cool.
as well. I'm talking to him and handling whatever
Very
business
cool.
I can get done.
All right, Neil. So perfect timing then. You know, for your sake, while you're there, you should definitely inquire about the age of the roof and the heating systems. You know, not only for your personal knowledge, but that's also a critical factor in getting your insurance quote.
Yep, they're both roof and heating cooling systems were just new last year.
2018,
yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Perfect. And I know that your house was built in 93, so what have you learned about the roof being at the inspection?
Well, I don't know that Matt's done a ton of stuff on there. I haven't learned exactly what kind of shingles they are, if that's what you're getting at, if they're impact resistance. I'm assuming that's where you're going with that, right?
No, we just want to know when it's last replaced, because if it's original shingles.
Oh, sorry. The roof was 2018 as well. Yeah, the roof was just done last year also.
Fantastic.
That and the heating and cooling systems, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those would be the most expensive components for you to replace. Also the most problematic if there was an issue with heating or, you know, a major wind or hailstorm. So
correct, yes.
Depending on what else comes back in the inspection, I think, you know, if there are minor repairs that need to be done, then that's not as problematic as having to replace a roof or a water heater or HVAC system. So
yeah, absolutely. I think the water heater also was done the same time as the heating and cooling systems that's down there as well.
Good.
In the same.
Yeah, a lot of sellers, when they're getting ready to list a house, they'll go with a lot of cosmetic upgrades because a lot of buyers look for those things to be updated but not necessarily are savvy enough to buy a house based on the actual integrity of the bones of the house.
Yeah, so no, the seller is about as meticulous as they come, so he's all over it.
Yeah, so far it sounds great. And you are expected to close on this on January the 9th, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. So here's what I'll do for you, Neil. I understand you're working with Chris Miller at Caliber.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, Chris is a good friend of mine as well. I have got the majority of the quote prepared. I'm going to give you two options. And the better of the two options is going to be if we insure both the house and your vehicles that you and Suzanne own. The reason that I say that is because we would discount the cost of the home insurance by as much as 40%. So I'm going to show you both options and let you decide the best course of action, but also in the process give you an excellent lesson in home insurance on what to expect to be covered and things that are not going to be covered and, you know, teach you everything that you need to know if this is your first time buying a house?
No, we've owned two previous, one in Florida, one in Texas.
Okay. And it looks like you're just moving down the street in your neighborhood because you're on Lake Meadow Drive and you're just moving a few houses down?
Yes, correct. Yep.
Okay.
We were renting the previous one, so.
Now, your wife, Suzanne, is she with you at this inspection?
No, she's not.
Okay. Yeah, because I would need your driver's license number as well as hers. Maybe we can get hers, you know, in a quick phone call, text message, or email.
Yeah, I can get it. I can text her and ask her. Hang on. Let me give you mine, and then I'll tell you what. I'm going to put you on speaker just for a second while I text her, and then I will get right back to you with my.
Sure.
Okay, hang on a second. All right. Okay, text is sent to her. Hopefully she'll respond here pretty quick. She just texted me asking how things were going, so she should be looking at her phone. You ready for mine?
Yes, sir.
It's D as in Bravo, 614-13663.
Okay, perfect. So while we're waiting for hers, I will just go over our findings on the quote for the property. I've looked at this pretty in depth, and I expect that you'll have a copy of the inspection in hand by the end of the day.
Yeah, I think Matt just said he was nearing the home stretch and everything was looking good. But I believe his plan is to have the report done today.
Great. And so where are we in terms of the appraisal?
Chris texted you and said he just ordered the appraisal for when? Jason? Tomorrow. Tomorrow's the appraisal.
Okay, great. So the purchase price that you're under contract for is $1,050,000?
Correct.
Okay. So we use a combination of the above ground square feet plus a basement plus the building materials that have gone into the constructing the house to calculate the amount that we're actually going to be insuring the property for. So
okay.
We came up with $908,500, and the appraisal should be more or less consistent with that figure. So there's a separate figure for land, and there's a separate figure for the reconstruction cost of the building.
Okay.
I know that online it's listed as 5,630 square feet, but if I'm correct, based on the tax record, the above ground portion is 4,454.
That's correct. Yeah, the other, 1073 or 1076 or whatever it comes out to is the basement.
Okay. Now, how much of the basement is actually finished?
Percentage-wise? Is that what you're asking, percentage-wise?
Yes, percentage-wise.
I just wanted to say basement percentage finished, probably about 85%. There's a section, one decent-sized section in the utility closet where the AC and water heater units are.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is the length of the basement?
Probably roughly 80. Go ahead.
I was asking, is the length of the basement the entire length of the above ground levels?
Yes. Yeah, and
because
I would say
we're talking 4,454. That leads me to believe that each story of the house is about 2,200 square feet. You said the basement is only about 1,000.
Well, that's what the assessment was, or not the assessment, but the how did they determine it? They said it was determined by appraisal. So that's what it is. So 1076, or you're just trying to do a pure percentage off of that?
Yeah, I'm wondering if 1076 is the finished amount, or if that's just...
Or the total.
That's
probably the finished amount, I would guess. Because... I mean, if I look at the floor plan, the only part of the basement that's not covered, that doesn't have physical space to do anything with, is the portion underneath the garage. All the other dimensions, the exterior walling and stuff looks normal. So, and then, you probably don't have the floor plan, but it looks like about a 20 by 17 of that total area is not finished. I mean, I can give you the dimensions of all the rooms that are finished, if that helps. There's a 13 by 14. There's a 22 by 16 rec room, a 13 by 13 bedroom, and a 24 by 21 game room. And then there's a 14 by 11 den area that's finished. And then there's the 20 by 17 storage that's not finished. And then there's the mechanical closet, which doesn't have dimensions on. It's not finished, but it looks like it would be about 11 by 3.
Okay. Yeah, that's extremely helpful. So I'll go with your estimate of 80%. That's just going to affect what we would recommend insuring the property to just slightly by about 10 or 15 grand. So instead of 900 to 8,000, I think we'd be just fine with 894.
894?
Yes.
What was it?
894, 500. If the basement is only about 80% finished, then that's the new amount that we would suggest to insure.
Oh, versus the 908 or whatever you mentioned earlier. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
And you actually have quite a bit more coverage than the 894. So if the house was completely destroyed, there's a settlement provision which would guarantee the reconstruction cost. That would be you'd have additional 25% coverage above $894,000. We can do quick math on that. And if needed, what your house is actually insured to is about $1,118,125.
Okay.
All right, so, we try to accommodate for inflation, so every year that you renew, your coverage is increased by about 2 or 3% because the cost of labor and material rise pretty rapidly, so we never want to compromise you or put you in a position where your house is undervalued. That's why we include the additional 25% on your behalf. So you're well covered. I probably think the appraisal will come back a little less than what we estimated, but we've taken into consideration some of the finer upgrades and finishes in your kitchen and bathrooms. So that's what we would suggest, $894. I think we'll be good to go with that. So the type of policy that I'm crafting for you is a pretty unique one in which everything is covered unless it's specifically included in the legal language that it's an exclusion. The only major exclusions that you would need to know about are going to be flood and earthquake.
Okay.
Those are the most common ones. Other than that, yeah, you can endorse earthquake coverage.
I don't think there's much earthquake risk over here in Northern Virginia, but flood, I could see.
No.
Possibly.
Yeah, no, and the earthquake coverage of the deductibles are very high. They're about 5 or 10% of what the house is insured to, which that'll be like nine grand deductible. So there's very little value that I find in that. You do have coverage for basically everything else, though. Windstorm, hailstorm, hurricane, fire, any bursted or frozen pipes. And I've endorsed your policy as well to include coverage for water and sewage backup. That's a really important one because about 40% of the claims that we pay out are water related, and that could be a myriad of things. That could be your dishwasher overflowing, your washing machine. If you have a sump pump in the house, if that stops working properly, then waste that you try to flush out backs up into the house. So you definitely want to have that, and that's not included on any standard policy. You need to ask for it and pay for it because it costs a little bit extra. But I think it's well worth it. So you are pretty much covered from top to bottom, and then some of the special features that are added on this policy for no additional cost are things like equipment breakdown. This would be very akin to a home warranty, although you wouldn't use it for small ticket items like a broken dishwasher or microwave. This would be for larger items like the breakdown of your HVAC system, the breakdown of your hot water heater, or a sump pump. So those are parts of the house that are included that are not technically your property, but most insurance policies do not cover wear and tear or mechanical breakdown. This would extend your coverage to include the breakdown of those more expensive, larger ticket items in the house.
Okay, so and it's kind of like a home warranty rider on to the insurance policy that you're saying. That's what you said, right?
It's exactly the same basic stuff
that a home warranty would cover. Yeah, okay. Makes sense.
Exactly. But for the larger items, so
right.
We wouldn't recommend, you know, putting in small claims for like a refrigerator because it's still subject to your deductible. So
sure.
Most of the claims that we pay out related to that is, you know, breakdown of the HVAC, heating and cooling systems.
Gotcha. Yep.
All right. And then the other very useful feature that you'll find is underground coverage for any service lines that run into your house. So this could be not only plumbing, but gas line, propane line, cable line, electric line. If there's an interruption to the service that's being provided to the house, you do have coverage for not only the excavation, but the repair or replacement of that pipeline or service line. So you'd be surprised how expensive those jobs can be. If there's a tree root underground that intercepts a water line, can be very expensive to replace. So that is included
and you gotta start
for
digging
you.
Up earth.
Yeah. Yeah. It's it can get pretty messy and very expensive very quickly. So the deductible that I would recommend for you, and you're free to change this if you'd like to, but $1,000 is enough that you're retaining enough risk so that you're not putting in small claims, but very affordable so that if there is a bad weather storm, it's not a lot for you to come out of pocket. That'd be about 90% of what most homeowners have on their policy. If you want to be more mindful of your expenses, you are certainly free to tell me, Sean, I want to see what it would cost if we raise the deductible to $2,000 or $3,000. But I'll first give you the figures at $1,000. Does that sound fair?
Sounds fair, yep. I mean, what are we talking in variance between those one and two, maybe three? Just out of curiosity, you know, off the top of your head or, yeah.
I don't, it's not a fixed percent or dollar amount, but I'll show you. So with the $1,000 deductible for the annual plan, we would charge $1,397 for the home. And then if we were to consider a deductible of, let's say, $2,000, it would be $1,184. So actually
like
it's quite
$200-ish, a little over $200 a year, I think.
Correct, yeah. It depends on your level of comfort. You're working with USAA right now, right?
Yes. Well, I mean, I don't. We have renter's insurance with them right now, but I mean, we haven't had homeowners. We didn't have homeowners insurance with them when we owned in Florida because they were just ridiculously expensive.
They
don't have a brick and mortar down there. They don't have brick and mortar in Florida, so they couldn't even insure it themselves. They had to go through another company. There's some Florida law that says you have to actually have like a brick and mortar office in that state in order to provide hurricane coverage and all that other special Florida stuff. So we had it through.
Oh, interesting.
Down there. Yep.
Yeah, a lot of plans that I've seen that they've been writing lately have been at a 1 or 2% deductible, which is a percent of what they're insuring the house for. So for you, that would be like a $9,000 wind and hail deductible.
Yeah.
In my opinion, way too high to come out of pocket.
That is high.
$2,000 is great. I mean, if I were the one making the decision, I'd probably opt for that. Choice is yours, though. We can show you $3,000, $4,000, and $5,000.
I think the $2,000 is probably reasonable. You can just quote that.
Okay. And have we heard back from Suzanne?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Okay. Let me check. Hang on 1 second. I have not. So, if eventually, so we have a 16-year-old daughter that just started driving too. So I'm assuming you'd have to account for her.
Yes. Well, it depends if she's still in her permit stage or if she's actually a licensed driver.
She's a licensed driver now, and she's in school. I don't have a way to get her a license right now, so we'd have to finalize that a little bit further down the road. But
okay. I'll tell you what we could do in the meantime is you could provide her name and date of birth and maybe call me this evening with her license number.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And if my sources are correct, the vehicle that showed up with a match of your name would be a 2003 Ford Explorer and a 2014 Mazda 3.
That's correct.
Okay. Which one are you driving most often, the Explorer?
No, the Mazda.
Okay. And are there any vehicles that I'm missing?
Nope, not yet. There's going to be at some point. 2003 Explorer runs great. It's a great car, but my wife's like, I think I'm due for a new one. She's been driving.
Yeah, it might be.
But she's sentimentally attached to it because our kids came home from the hospital at birth in them, and now our oldest sometimes drives it when she's not driving mine.
Now, Neil, can you explain to me how you and Suzanne drive those vehicles if they are, used as everyday commuter vehicles 5 days a week, 5 days a week to work?
No. Well, so I don't. So the Mazda, if I'm driving it to work, I'll fly to the airline. So like I'll drive it into work and it'll stay parked in the parking lot and for 2 to 3, 4 days. And then I drive it home. So I would say the Mazda only probably, 12,000 or less miles a year, probably less, probably closer to 10, but 12 is a good estimate. And then the Explorer, she just drives to and from school every day, but their school is like 3 miles away. So it doesn't get a whole lot of mileage just put on it either.
Okay. So Suzanne, is she a teacher?
She's an instructional assistant for the special education department. Yeah.
Okay. Are you talking Lake Braddock?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I grew up in Burke. That's the reason I asked that question.
Oh, yeah. Did you graduate from there, Robinson, or?
Yeah, from Lake Braddock. I lived, I'm not sure where your neighborhood is in relation to where I lived. I lived off of Shiplet Boulevard.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're it's just just south of Burke Center and Old Keene. And right before you get to Fairfax County Parkway.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So Suzanne's driving about 3 miles towards work and your commute towards work would be approximately how many miles?
From us to Dulles is, about 18 miles maybe, but it's not every day. It's once, twice a week at the most.
Okay. You work at the airport?
Yes. That's where I start all my trips. Sometimes I have to drive to BWI, but that doesn't happen very often. That might happen.
Pilot?
2 or 3 times a year. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, very cool. Very cool. I wonder if you knew a guy named Sal Speziale.
No, I don't. Yeah, I don't know. It depends on where he lives and where he goes through and what he flies.
He's a pilot. Yeah. I don't know. He's my friend's father. He's a pilot. I think he just retired, but sure which airline he flew for.
Yeah, no, when you tried to contact me yesterday, I was offline. I was down in Cabo San Lucas enjoying 80-degree sunshiny weather.
What a shame.
Yeah. Then I flew back into Chicago and was like, ugh, this is miserable.
Sounds like a fun and exciting job.
Got its benefits and its perks, yeah. I enjoy it. My wife doesn't like it when I'm gone, but she likes the kind of benefits that come with it. So, to give and take.
Well, Jason will tell you that I love to travel. So if you have any room on your buddy pass, I'd love to love to fly with
you. Yeah, I wish
it
worked that way. Unfortunately, they have this crazy limits on even the even my immediate family doesn't get that great. We get great benefits, but even the immediate family is pretty limited. Kind of weird.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I guess it depends on the airline. I got a buddy who's got a couple connections. Some of his friends, they get up to a dozen reserved people that can fly standby.
We have stuff like that, but then you have to use, you only get so many buddy passes a year, and family has to use those same buddy passes too. It's just kind of, like I said, it's doable, but it's a very limited kind of benefit you'd be hard pressed to want to try and travel standby on the priority that you get as a buddy pass as well. There, it's so low.
Oh, really?
You would never want to do it having to get somewhere, only if you were very, 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 very flexible and very fluid in what you were trying to do.
Or maybe do, like, standby to Atlanta or one of the larger hubs and fly from
well,
there.
Sometimes larger ones are the worst to get in and out of because you have all the airline employees who are commuters that are scrambling to get into there to get to work. So on their own, you know, they're responsible for getting themselves. That's the one, and you can live wherever you want, but commuting lifestyle is much different than like a guy like me who lives in the same area that I originate and end all my flights from. So
I got you. Now, what is your daughter's name?
Jamie, Jaimie. There's an extra I in there.
Okay. And her date of birth?
February 20th, 2003.
Okay. So she just got licensed in the last couple months?
She's been driving on her own since probably the end of June or maybe July was, after she finished behind the wheel.
Okay. And so which car would she have access to?
She drives both of them. She probably drives the Mazda more frequently than she does the Explorer, though.
Drive the Mazda more than the Explorer?
It just has some nicer features, easier for her to handle, backup cam, lane, you know, all the warning signals. And the Mazda 3 is pretty loaded with safety features.
Okay. Sounds good. All right, so how many accidents or tickets would you and your family have collectively in the last 5 years?
Zero.
Zero for everybody?
Zero for everybody. Not unless my wife's hiding tickets from me, but she's not. No accidents.
What I usually see when that's the case is once we actually run the reports, the rate ends up being less than what the estimate was before we run the reports. And then if that is accurate, that there's no tickets and accidents, we can actually extend what's called a rate lock, which is basically you pay the exact same amount for 3 years consecutive. So if there is some catastrophic event, like a big hailstorm, or if rates in general just increase in the area, you're pretty much exempt from the rate increase. Or if Jamie has a ticket or accident, which would normally surcharge your policy by 20% to 30% at the next renewal, you're exempt from that for the three-year period that the rate is locked in.
Okay.
So we'll be able to figure that out once you have the driver's license numbers. And
yeah,
later this afternoon, you can send me an email with that, and we can schedule a follow-up call to complete everything at that point.
Yeah. No,
now, are you planning? That sounds great. So, are you planning to have your escrow account pay for the home insurance at closing?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So we just need Suzanne and Jamie's driver's license number. And then as soon as you can relay that information back to me, is there a good time of day that you'll be accessible for a follow-up call?
Yeah, anytime today, tomorrow, I'll be around. Like, I just finished my trip, so I'm off for the next 7 days.
Okay, so pretty flexible today. All right, why don't we adjourn here, and then I believe you already have my email address because you replied to it yesterday. Let's talk later in the afternoon, and then we can sort out the details, and I can let you know what the next steps are in moving forward if you're interested to do so.
Yeah, absolutely. Is replying to the email the best way to get you the driver license numbers?
I think so, because if you call back, I mean, maybe assisting another client.
Okay.
I always respond back pretty quickly, though.
Okay, sounds good.
All right. Have I answered all your questions for the time being, Neil?
You have. Good timing. I think Matt just finished the inspection stuff up, too, so I'll talk to him real quick.
Fantastic. All right. Yeah, if anything is of a concern in that inspection report, once you receive a copy, please forward it over to me just so I know of any issues with the house, or we can discuss that on the next call, too.
Okay, perfect. All right, thanks, Ron.
My pleasure, Neil.
I'll
have a good
one. I'll get you those numbers. All right, you too. Bye-bye.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.